Well, if you have your Bibles, could you please take them out and turn to the book of Zechariah? This morning we'll be looking at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. I've entitled this morning's sermon, How to Face the Accuser. And we're going to read about an accusation made in Scripture. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let us hear the voice of God. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Amen. This is God's word. Let's once again seek the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come now to study your word, we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you would say to us. Lord, may we study your word and hear your voice clearly this morning. May we be alert. May we be attentive. May you cause any distractions to be removed from our mind, and may we hear your voice clearly. Lord, would you be with us today? Would you send the Holy Spirit amongst us to take the word, to apply the word to our lives? May he convict us where we need conviction. May he heal us where we need healing. And may he point us to Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I preach. Lord, I need the empowering of the Spirit and the wisdom that comes from you. So I ask, Lord, that you would guide my lips and my tongue to speak what I ought to speak. And may I be faithful to proclaim your word. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
To be falsely accused has been listed as one of the most stressful experiences that someone can go through. To have your character and behavior maligned and questioned cuts deep, and it often leaves those who have been accused feeling angry, hurt, and alone. I have come across testimonies of people who were falsely accused in court, people who faced charges, and they said when accusations were made, they at first were outraged. They knew they were innocent. But then they said something strange began to happen. The more they heard the accusations, the more they started to doubt themselves. And they started to wonder if indeed they were really the person being described. And those testimonies then said the accusations left them feeling condemned and they left them feeling guilty, but they said eventually when the truth came out, they felt free. They felt vindicated. And that in essence is what is happening here in Zechariah chapter 3. As we come into the book of Zechariah, we are coming into the middle of a series of visions that the prophet Zechariah is having. Now, in this vision, in chapter 3, we are seeing that we are taken to a divine courtroom. We're taken to the judgment seat of God. And there in this courtroom is Joshua the high priest, standing before God, but being accused by Satan. Allegations are being made. Accusations are flying thick and fast. And as we study this passage, as we look at this text, I don't want you just to think that we have a description here of a man named Joshua. Rather, I want you to realize that what we are reading about here actually applies to us as well. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you should be able to relate to the accusations that Joshua is facing. You should understand that as a believer in Christ, you are exactly like Joshua the high priest. Now, granted, you are not a high priest, but we are told in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10, that all those who are in the Lord Jesus are priests unto God. And what often happens in our life is that as we go through our Christian walk, there are times when Satan comes along and he brings accusations against us. He accuses us. He reminds us of all our sins. He points to all our failings and he seeks to bring condemnation. That's what's happening in Zechariah 3. So as we read of Joshua the high priest, we should be able to say, oh, I know what you're going through. Because Satan has brought condemnation upon me, he has accused me as well. You see, when a Christian sins, we rightly feel guilty, we rightly feel convicted. The Spirit of God convicts us, but he convicts us out of a place of grace and love to bring us to a point of repentance. But when the Christian sins, Satan doesn't want you to come to a place of grace and repentance. Instead, what Satan does is he grabs a hold of the sin that you've committed and he throws it back into your face and he tries to accuse you by bringing condemnation. He seeks to grind you down. He seeks to enslave you so that you become ineffective in your Christian life. Now, when this situation does arise, we as Christians need to know the truth of our position before God. We need to understand the truth of who we are in Christ. And when we understand our position and our standing before God, then we can resist the accusations of the devil. So let's begin by looking at the accusation in verses 1 to 3. Now, as I've already mentioned, this vision that we have here is taking place in the divine courtroom. Joshua, the high priest, is standing in the dock and accusations are coming from Satan. Now, I just have to clarify a couple of points here. When you hear of Joshua, the high priest, do not think of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It's a different Joshua completely. This is taking place centuries after the Battle of Jericho. This Joshua was a Joshua who was the high priest unto God. He was the high priest who at one point was exiled in Babylon due to the disciplinary judgment of the Lord. And if you read the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai, you will encounter this Joshua because he left Babylon and he returned to the land in obedience to God. He went back to the land of Israel, back to Jerusalem, to assist with the rebuilding of the temple so true worship could be reestablished once again. That is the Joshua we are dealing with. Now, his role as a high priest was to act as a mediator, as a representative between God and the people. His job as the high priest was to proclaim God's law, to remind people of who God is, and to offer sacrifices for sin. But the problem with human high priests is that high priests have all the same issues as everyone else. A human high priest could never fully atone for sin. He could never truly be a representative between God and the people. As Joshua the high priest, like you and I, was a sinner. He's a fallen man. A man who is guilty. Yet he is also a man who is loved greatly by God. And in verse 1, as we come to our text, we see the scene. Joshua the high priest is standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, normally, the high priest is used to standing before God because he would go into the temple, he would stand before the Holy of Holies, and he would offer a sacrifice. He normally stood before God in the temple in Jerusalem. But in this vision, we see something different. Joshua is not standing in the temple in Jerusalem. Rather, he has appeared before the judgment seat of God. He is standing in God's courtroom. And our text tells us that he's not alone in this courtroom. He's standing before God, but there on his right-hand side is the accuser of the brethren. There is Satan himself making accusations towards Joshua the high priest. Now perhaps you've seen courtrooms on TV, so this scene might be something you can imagine in your mind. Perhaps you've watched television, you've seen a court drama. Perhaps if you've been a little bit naughty, you've been in a courtroom, you can understand what's happening here. Now if you go to a courtroom, what you'll often see is that you'll have a table for the defense, for the accused. They will stand there and they will make their case of innocence. But then you'll have another table, and that's where the prosecutor would sit. That's the accuser's side. It's normally on the right-hand side. And that's the imagery we have here in Zechariah 3. The judgment seat of God is up there. You have Joshua the high priest standing here, and Satan standing there on the right-hand side making accusations. Psalm 109 verse 6 tells us that the accuser has to stand on the right-hand side when making his case. So Satan does that. He takes up his position and he tries to bring condemnation. The scene's quite dramatic when you break it down. It's a courtroom drama unfolding before us. But what's interesting as we come to the text is we don't actually know the nature of the accusations. We know that Satan is accusing Joshua the high priest, but we don't know what the high priest has allegedly done. You see, God in his wisdom has seen fit not to reveal to us what Joshua has been charged with. We know that he has committed sin. We know that truth because Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God." We also know that Joshua the high priest is a sinner because in verse 3 it tells us that his garments are filthy. But we don't know what he has done. We have no idea what sin has taken place, but Satan does. Satan knows the sin. So he takes up the position of accusation and he tries to condemn the high priest. You see, this is one of the roles of Satan. This is one of the functions that Satan performs. Throughout the scripture, we see that the devil is the accuser. In Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, we see that Satan appears before God to bring accusations against Job. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, Satan is described as the accuser of the brethren who makes allegations against God's people day and night. As Satan roams about seeking to devour Christians, he's seeking to accuse Christians. Now the question we have to ask is, why does he do that? I mean, Satan is no fool. Don't think the devil is some imbecile that doesn't understand the word of God. No, he probably has a better understanding of scripture than most Christians do. He comes to the word of God and he knows the truth that Christians cannot lose their salvation. He knows that all those who are in Christ are saved for eternity. So the point of accusing them is not to make them lose salvation. So why does he do it? What's the point in Satan making allegations and accusations against God's people? Well, he knows full well that if he accuses us, he can make us useless in our service for Christ. Satan comes along, he takes up the position of accusation. He points out all our sins. He points out all the times we have failed. And he says, look at them. Look at yourself. You think you can serve Jesus? And we listen to him foolishly. He accuses us. And sadly, we fall for his traps. Now, this accusation is common to the Christian life. Martin Luther, the German reformer, records an incident where he said that he was accused by the devil. In fact, he said the devil came to him in a dream saying, "Luther, how dare you pretend to be a reformer of the church? Luther, let your memory do its duty. Let your conscience do its duty. You have committed this sin. You have been guilty of that sin. You have admitted this duty. You have neglected that duty. Let reform begin in your own bosom. How dare you attempt to be a reformer of the church?" Luther said Satan was accusing him. How did Luther deal with it? Well, Luther said he looked at the devil. And he said, "Satan, you know what? You're right. I have sinned. Why don't you make a list of all the sins I've committed?" And Luther records that the devil did. He wrote out a list of all Luther's sin. And then he held it up. He was accusing Luther. And Luther said he replied by quoting 1 John 1:7. "The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, the illustration that Luther gives is something that all Christians will face at some point in time. Satan seeks to accuse. Satan seeks to condemn those who are in Christ. But sadly, instead of responding like Luther, we can often respond by going, he might be right, you know. He's right on my sin. I have failed. I haven't done what I should be doing. He's right. And we listen to the accusation. And what happens? We hang our heads. We become inwardly focused. We start thinking about ourselves only. We become depressed. And we become ineffective in our service to Jesus. That's the goal of Satan's accusation. He can't make you lose salvation. But he can tie you up and stop you working for Christ. In the book of Ezra, we read the account of when God's people left Babylon and they came back to the land of Israel, that they started to rebuild the temple. But as they did so, Satan brought along people to accuse them. And what did the people of God do? Well, they stopped work. Literally in the Hebrew, it says their hands went limp and they gave up what they were doing. Why? Because they listened to the accusations. And that's what Satan wants for us. He accuses us so that our hands can go limp in the service of the Lord. He makes accusations so we become ineffective. Again, he can't make us lose our salvation, but he can rob us of joy. He can rob us of peace. He can rob us of our focus upon God. We become ineffective. We stop reading our Bibles. We leave off praying. We don't evangelize. We stop pursuing holiness. We stop gathering as God's people. We believe the accusations. But we as Christians should not be ignorant of Satan's tactics. We should be alert to this. When accusation comes, we need to remember who is behind that. And say, I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to listen to you. Sometimes we have to take the fight back to the devil and say, you know what, you want me to be ineffective in the service of my master? I'm going to become more effective now. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to evangelize more. I'm going to do more for the glory of God than I ever have done before. The opposite to what he wants. But he's going to come and he will keep accusing you. But we also have the promise of Scripture that if you resist him, he will flee far from you. R.C. Sproul said, accusation is the favorite ploy of Satan against the believers. It differs from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts of sin in order to move us to repentance and forgiveness. Satan's goal is condemnation and destruction, not redemption. So here's Joshua the high priest, standing in the courtroom of God. He's standing there in his filth, and Satan accuses him. Satan steps up and he says, you don't want him, God. Look at him. He's filthy. He's guilty. He is condemned. Look at all the sins he has committed. In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 3, we are told that a priest who was unclean was to be cut off from the people. And that's what Satan is going for here. He wants Joshua, the high priest, to be cut off. So he brings out the charge sheet. He lists all the crimes that Joshua has committed. And indeed, Joshua is guilty. Verse 3, he is clothed with filthy garments. That's a very polite translation. The Hebrew indicates that the garments were stained with human filth, with excrement. That's how vile Joshua, the high priest, appeared. And Satan begins to accuse him. It looks like a straightforward case. Here is a man who has been accused. We can see the evidence of his sin. The accuser seems to have his man. He knows all the sins of Joshua. He seeks to condemn him. But then God steps in. God steps in. God speaks. The judge responds. the one who has all authority rebukes the accuser. Look at the scripture. God says, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" You see, God's not going to listen to the accusations of the devil. He doesn't hear what the devil is saying. Now, even though Joshua should face judgment, he should face the judgment of fire, that is, he should face hell, God says Joshua has been plucked from the fire. He's been rescued from the judgment. Satan says, "Condemn him." God says, "No, I rebuke you, O Satan." Now, why would God not listen to Satan? Why would God say, "No, I'm not going to punish or judge Joshua the high priest"? Well, that answer is actually found in verses 8 and 9 of Zechariah chapter 3. The reason Joshua, even though he has sinned, is not going to face the judgment of fire is because he has a sin bearer. In verse 8 and 9, we meet the sin bearer. He is called "my servant." He is called "the branch." He is called "the stone." All of those are titles and names for the Messiah. They are all titles and names pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Joshua the high priest is not condemned because he has a sin bearer. He has Jesus who takes the sins of his people upon himself. He has Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even though Joshua lived many years before the coming of Christ, we know from the book of Romans that those who lived in the Old Testament looked forward by faith, and they were justified by faith in the coming Messiah. Joshua the high priest would have looked forward to the day that God provided the rescuer. And because of that faith in that rescuer, we are told here in Zechariah chapter 3 that he is one plucked from the fire. Now, Joshua has no hope in and of himself. He couldn't say, "Well, I'm not condemned because I'm the high priest." Well, religion means nothing. Joshua couldn't remove his own sin. He couldn't even cover his own sin. He, like everyone else, needed a sacrifice. Joshua couldn't make himself right with God. He couldn't save himself. But Jesus can, and Jesus does. Jesus goes to the cross to pay the full penalty for sin. In love, Jesus takes the sin of his people. All sin, past sin, present sin, and future sin is paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. He nails all the sins of his people to the cross. Satan steps forward with a charge sheet. And on top of that charge sheet has the name of the believer written upon it. And under that name is all the sins the believer has ever committed and all the sins the believer ever will commit. The charge sheet screams guilty. Satan holds up the charge sheet and says, "This person should be condemned." But Christ takes the charge sheet, removes the name of the believer, and puts his name on it instead. And he takes the charge. He takes the penalty for sin. He dies condemned in our place and then rises again for our justification. This is why Joshua is not condemned. He's not condemned because, as Colossians 2:14 says, Jesus erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. The charge sheet that the accuser brings forward and says, "Here's all the crimes that's ever been committed by this person. Here's all the sin that's ever been committed by a believer. Here is my accusation." Christ takes it and he nails it to the cross. And he pays for it fully. Brother and sister in Christ, if you have been accused by Satan, or if you are being accused by Satan, do not let him place condemnation upon you. Remember your sin bearer. Remember your Savior. Satan's going to come hard against you. He's going to bring allegations and accusations against you. But in that moment, remember Christ. Remember that we have a sin bearer who paid for all our sin. All our past sin was nailed to the cross at Calvary. All our present sin has been nailed to the cross at Calvary. All our future sin has been nailed to the cross at Calvary. Remember that. As the hymn writer said, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." And that's how we should respond to the accusations of Satan. "You're right, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. But let me tell you of my Savior as the one who became sin for me, as the one who rescued me and delivered me out of the domain of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of his glorious light." Oh, if we're going to withstand the accuser, we need to remind ourselves of this truth. If we're going to stand up to the accusations of Satan, we need to remember our Savior and our current standing before God. So the accusation has been made. God has rebuked the devil. But God isn't finished. In verse 4 to 5, we see our position before God. You see, we're told in our passage here that God does more than just rebuke Satan. He does more than just tell Satan to clear off, "I'm not going to hear what you have to say." No, we see that he transforms Joshua. Look at verse 4 to 5. "And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by." What a great transformation. At one point, Joshua is standing before God in filthy garments. But then God removes those filthy garments and a new garment is given to him. He is clothed with pure vestments and a clean turban. Now, to understand and grasp what's being said here, we need to understand a little bit about the clothing of a priest. I know if you read through your Bible each year, you often get to those chapters towards the end of Exodus that start to describe all the different clothing. Now, there's no judgment and condemnation here. I know what many Christians do. We go, "I don't understand that." So we quickly read through that to get through our Bible reading. But if you look at what the clothing represented, we see that there's actually a wonderful picture being presented. There's a message being conveyed by what the priest was wearing. You see, the priest of God was to have clean clothes, pure clothes, as a sign of holiness, as a sign of being set apart from sin. On the turban that the priest wore, it was to be written on it, "Holiness to the Lord." His clothing conveyed a message. He's saying, the priest has been set apart by God. He is holy. Now, of course, the priest in and of himself was not. But this was to point forward to a great high priest. A priest who is not like any other priest. It was to point forward to Jesus. And it was to say that our high priest will make us clean one day. So when Joshua has his filthy garments on, he's showing what he is like in truth. He is showing his natural state, that we have sinned and we've done wrong. But God comes and he changes Joshua. He gives him a pure vestment and a clean turban. In other words, God takes the initiative. He strips off the filth He doesn't clean him up and just say, I'm going to clean up the best I can. No, he completely transforms him and says, here is a new pure vestment. Here is a clean turban. In other words, Joshua's sin was completely removed by God. He took all the sin away, thus making the accusations of Satan of having no basis. How can you accuse someone who's standing there in pure vestments? God has said, Satan, I rebuke you, stripped Joshua and made him clean. Joshua doesn't clean himself. Rather, he is completely given free, pure vestments and clean turbans. It's free. He couldn't purchase it. He couldn't earn it. It was given to him by God. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't come along to Joshua and say, listen here, I know you've done wrong. No big deal. Try harder next time. He doesn't do that. And so many times we as Christians can think that's how God responds to our sin. Hey, try harder next time. No, that's the yoke of the law. That's legalism. That's putting burdens upon people. Hey, try harder, clean yourself up. No! Christ makes us perfectly righteous. He prepares a perfect righteous garment for us. He doesn't say try harder. He says here, take what is mine. Here, take my righteous garment and put it upon yourself. You see, Joshua can no longer be accused by the devil because he's pure and he's standing before God. And likewise, you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan comes to accuse you, he has no grounds to make that accusation because you're not clothed in your own righteousness. You're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So don't listen to Satan, these accusations. You have what Jesus had. You have the pure vestment. Because Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of the most powerful verses that speak of this in all of Scripture, says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a wonderful statement. Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin upon himself, so that now when we are in him by faith, we're given his pure vestment. We're given his righteousness. And that's what God does for Joshua the high priest, and that's what God does for all believers. Satan cannot make accusations against the Christian that have any basis in truth in them, because in the eyes of God, we are now righteous. The foolish thing is, we listen to him. God doesn't. You see, if you trust in Jesus, and right now, this very moment, you are righteous. You cannot add to that righteousness, and you cannot subtract from it. If you have Jesus, you have all that was his. You have his perfect righteousness. Now, when Satan comes along and he brings accusations against the Christian, if God the Father looks at the believer, he's pleased in us. Not because of what we have done, but because he's pleased with God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when the Father looks upon the believer, he sees Christ's righteousness imputed to us. He sees that Jesus took our sin, and he sees that we've been given what Jesus has, his righteousness. And even though we as Christians have sinned since coming to Christ, we will never lose the righteousness of Jesus. Satan will try and make you think you can lose it. He will accuse you when you sin. But remember, just like Joshua the high priest, you've been made clean. And just like God rebuked Satan when he accused Joshua the high priest, so the Lord rebukes Satan when he accuses us. You see, in the divine courtroom, we sometimes stand there accused and Satan makes our accusation. But what we have to realize is in the courtroom, we often have a lawyer. We have someone who makes a defense for us. And 1 John 2:1 tells us that Jesus is in the courtroom with us and he makes our defense. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Jesus is our defense. Jesus rebukes Satan for us. He is the one who makes us righteous and keeps us righteous. And if you are in Christ, then that is your current position. You are righteous. And I want to stress that constantly and continuously because we forget it so quickly. When we do wrong, Satan comes along and says, "Hey, guilty." And we go, "Oh, you're right, I am." No, we must keep remembering. You know what? You can accuse me all you want, but I have Jesus. And he's more than enough. I have the sufficient Savior. The one who atoned for all my sin. The one who carried all my sin to the cross, nailed it there and left it there. And now because he lives, I will live with him. Because he is risen, I am justified. Because he took my sin, I now have his righteousness. Clear off, devil. I have Jesus. And that should be our response to the accusations that come our way. But the reality is, you will be accused. But next time it happens, or even if it's happening right now, run to Jesus. Remember him. Nothing, Satan has nothing on you if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot add to the righteousness of Jesus. You cannot subtract from the righteousness of Jesus. You cannot clean yourself up and make yourself better. You cannot sew your own garment of righteousness. No, you have a perfect righteousness given to you by Christ. So the accuser cannot make a case. Do not believe him. And we as Christians, and I speak to myself as well here, we have to remind ourselves constantly of this. We have to constantly remind ourselves of Jesus. So brother and sister in Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus, this morning Satan cannot bring an accusation against you. But let me just say, if you're here and you've never personally trusted in Christ, then you are rightly accused and you are rightly condemned because you don't have a defense lawyer. You don't have a savior. But there is good news for those who are yet to trust in Christ. Even though your sin is accusing you, even though you're rightly condemned because of your sin, the savior can rescue you also. He died on the cross for sinners. He rose again and now he calls on you to repent and trust in him. And if you do that, then you will be made completely righteous, just like Joshua the high priest. Your sin will be removed, and you will know and love God. So how do you face the accuser? You face him in the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, saying, along with Martin Luther, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I'm righteous because my Savior died. I'm right with God, not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done." Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Don't listen to him. Run to Jesus and hold fast to him, and the Lord will rebuke the devil on your behalf. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you that we do not have to trust in ourselves, our own deeds, our own attempts at righteousness. But we have been made righteous and we can stand in your presence only because of our Savior. Lord, next time Satan comes to accuse us, may we remember that. May we be reminded of our Savior and may we hold fast to him. Lord, help us to understand our position before you is one of righteousness because of our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. May we never forget that truth. And for my brothers and sisters here this morning who may be facing condemnation or facing accusations of the devil and feel defeated and enslaved, Lord, we pray that you would remind them of the gospel truth this morning, that, Lord, you would lift them up out of the pit that they are in, and may they see that their Savior is more than enough for them. Oh, Lord, be of your people this day and help us to resist the accusations of Satan, and may we bring honor and glory to your name. For Jesus' sake, amen.